Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call,
another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
And a good Tuesday morning to you. It's SB Nation Radio Wake Up Call. Tony D and Ron Culver. We talked about this yesterday with the news of the XFL folding up operations for good. Not on hiatus, not we're taking the time off of the virus like everybody else, but we'll be roaring back when the time comes. Nope, done for good. That for whatever reason, football outside the National Football League, professional football that is in this country, any other league doesn't seem to work. It doesn't seem to hold up. And it hasn't worked for four different scenarios. It is not necessarily money. It has always been something else. It has been identity in terms of the USFL wanting direct competition with the NFL going from a spring league to a fall league back in the 80s, suing the league for a monopoly and not getting the financial reward that came from that, even though it was found out that the NFL did have a monopoly. The damage was a dollar, and then they got like triple that money, and that was it. I think it was like $378 was the total money that they got in a reward from that jury. Then you have the XFL Part 1, and that fell away because it was trying to be more of a TV show than a sports league, so it suffered from the fact that the football was terrible and nobody really wanted to watch it. And then you had the AAFL, and that was a financial thing, but it was also very, very mismanaged. It was, it got bought by a guy who wanted to tear it apart and turn it into a minor league for the NFL, hoping the NFL would step in. It didn't, so they just shut it down, didn't even finish their year. And then you have the XFL Part 2, which today we now know, based on what we've heard from yesterday, that it closed up shop because they're filing for bankruptcy. They owe enough people money, and they're closing for bankruptcy. When I was in minor league basketball, I was in two different leagues, one league and then emerged in another league. And, you know, it was a fun time for me, but we all kind of envisioned a moment when the NBA was creating its development league that maybe we could land with that en route to whatever goals that we had aspired in the world of basketball. Here we are. I'm 20 years later. The G League is still around. It's had different incarnations. It's had different teams come and go. But the backing the NBA has put into this, it still exists. It's still something that is in our sports landscape, although small. The NFL doesn't need a minor league system. The college game provides enough training and support for that. And until the NFL gets involved, we may never see football again.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, again, hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, and spell Ron with two N's, please. So the XFL claimed bankruptcy yesterday. They owe some money, yeah. And so that's it.
What nice. Happened?
So yesterday I was like, well, gee, why can't they? I thought they were so well funded that they couldn't. Why can't they just shut down like everything else and go, hey, next year, 2021, we'll be back. Nah, they just were like, nah, we owe too much money. Yep. That's it.
We're done.
Sorry. We're,
And this is, I don't know if this is like the way to go about it or the thing to do, but I want to say it's like the second or third time I've seen it where they filed bankruptcy in Delaware.
Oh, yeah. Why is that?
I have no idea.
Is there a reason that you do that? I don't know. I don't know much about economics to.
Yeah. Is it because it's a smaller state and you're likely to get it?
Maybe so. Maybe so.
I don't know.
Look, I love these kind of topics because I like learning things. And I, like when it comes to sports stuff, when I research it, I kind of feel like I'm well versed in a lot of different angles of a sports story. But in this one, it's a little weird because I was always led to believe by what the XFL's press was telling the media, what their department was, PR department was telling the media, was this was a well-funded Vince McMahon operation. Right? It had a lot of money behind it. It had a 3-year plan, etc. Did coronavirus and the few weeks that we've been in quarantine, did that erase all of that? And they just went,
We're broke.
That's the question, right? I mean, listen, I know coronavirus is hurting a lot of people.
Sure, sure.
In a lot of different ways, whether it's through illness, whether it's financially, you know, whether you're a social extrovert and now you're forced to just be your own best friend. I really don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably killing a lot of people's livers. But it just seems to me that there wasn't enough time given for the XFL to go, oh, by the way, yeah, we are so financially in trouble.
And
we're just going to file bankruptcy.
Think where Vince McMahon was 20 years ago with the first XFL, right? So he comes out of the gate back in 2000. I think it was 2001, I think, when it launched. He comes out of the gate and he's got Vegas Outlaws and it's a big hit on TV and he hate me and all of a sudden it's, you know, there's excitement, right? That first game in Vegas was a big deal to Vegas. I mean, because Vegas didn't have a pro team. Well, it had these little small minor league teams, but this was a big deal. It was on national TV. It was professional football in Vegas, right? If you lived in Vegas, I lived in Vegas at a time where people would say, oh, the NFL's never coming here. The NBA is never coming here. There's too much gambling. They don't want to be associated with it. And here we are 20 years later. It's got two professional sports teams, and the NBA has flirted with the idea of going there too, teams would, you know, relocate to that city. But 20 years ago, it was, nah, they'll never come. The gambling is it's too risky for these pro leagues. So Vegas comes on TV. It's a big hit. It's a big crowd. But by the time it got to week 4 or 5, people were laughing at this thing, right? 20 years ago. People were saying the football was atrocious. The ratings were terrible. He was getting too desperate. He had fired his lead announcer, replaced him with Jim Ross, Jim Ross is a very good sports announcer, not just a wrestling guy. He's a good sports announcer, but he used a wrestling angle, right? Jerry Lawler was with him. Jesse Ventura was with him. They had wrestling broadcasts for football games. They tried to do wrestling gimmicks in football games that were not scripted, and people were laughing at it. People were making fun of it. It disappeared. They didn't even come back for a second year. They wrapped up their first year and got the hell out of there. And everyone said, well, that was stupid. That was dumb. What a big waste of money. What a flop. What a bust. But he felt like he could do it again. It just took 2 decades. And when he put this together, as we've been saying, when we talked about the XFL when it was running, it was very different. Gone were all of the showmanship wrestling side angles. Gone were all of the, you know, tricks and gimmicks to get you to watch on TV. It was football. They had real good broadcasting teams that knew football. Joel Klatt was doing games. Right? The voice of college football on Fox was doing XFL games, and he knew the players. He researched the players. So you may never have heard of these guys, but Joel Klatt knew these guys, right? And that went for all of the analysts on the broadcast who did a really good job of saying, hey, you know what? This guy's a pretty good runner. This guy's a good blocker. This guy can catch passes out of the backfield, right? So what you have is you've got this reincarnation of this league, but it's going in the right direction. Nobody made fun of the XFL. Nobody was saying how horrible this was and how Vince was an idiot for putting this on a second time. Au contraire, people were saying, this has got a chance. This is legit. Look at what it's doing. St. Louis was, you know, kind of eating it up because they didn't have professional football anymore. Other markets looked like it was they were making some progress. People were having fun going to the games. If you give it time to breathe, It seemed like it would be something. Don't go crazy. Don't overexpend. The USFL went from 12 teams to 18 teams after 1 year. If you just keep it to 8 and just see how it grows and continue to put a product together where the football would get better and you get better, maybe you could get other coaches into this league, they had good coaches, it could work. The coronavirus comes and that's it. That's it. Like, it's over?
That's where it's hard to believe.
Like, what, you weren't, if you're Vince McMahon, you owe so much money and the revenue stream was not, so, like, the lack of the revenue stream, I guess, was not anticipated for a startup that you went, no, bankruptcy, that's it, we're done. I'm not coming back. even after all the positive press that you were getting. Look, I get it the first go around. The first go around, if he had tried a year two, it would have been publicity suicide. It was because he was so ripped apart for what he did for that league that first year. I mean, it's some of the lowest rated television programs in the history of Saturday night, in the history of network television, were his football games that were terrible. He kicked Saturday night, he pushed Saturday Night Live to the brink that one time when they had a double overtime game in Los Angeles after a power outage. But he didn't come away from that experience saying, "This, you know, I'll never do that again." He just said, "Look, it's going to take a while, but I'd like to try that again. I think we could do it. I think there's something there." 5 weeks into the season and producing a couple of players that did sign NFL contracts. I mean, we'll see where their careers go. I'm not saying that they're, you know, whatever, but, you know, PJ Walker's at Carolina. Jordan Tamu is with the Kansas City Chiefs, right? So he had some good players. You know, they weren't all awesome, but they were, you know, it is what it is. And 5 weeks in, they go, "No, that's enough." By the way, Michael's answered your question on Twitter. It's because Delaware has bankruptcy-friendly laws towards corporate filings. There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
I knew there was a reason.
If you notice, a lot of credit card companies reside in Delaware. Oh. Michael, you're too smart to be listening to this show.
Yeah. Maybe that's why he's listening. He needs to dumb down every once in a while.
He needs to dumb down every now and then. He needs to come off the high chair of intelligence. He comes down to our level for a little bit.
Plays
in the sandbox and then goes back up.
Then goes back upstairs. Solving world problems.
Right, solving world problems. But in all seriousness, I was a little surprised by this. I mean, listen, am I naive about all? Sure, I get it. But I've been through this before. I've been through these kind of things personally.
We say, like, okay, with the AAF, it made sense. Because, right. they started off the season with a bang. Everyone was excited. Then, it was like the second weekend, third weekend, they were already asking for money.
Yeah.
And they were trying to limp along. And then they finally just called it quits, week five, week six.
Right.
The XFL showed none of that.
None.
It was all about how great the XFL is. It's doing great. Hey, you know what? We're having some healthy competition. They're being innovative once again that the NFL needs to adopt. That's all our focus was on. And then when the season ended prematurely, it was like any other sports league. It was like, well, of course it ended.
Right. Exactly. You know? That's right.
And that's the thing. Okay. If coronavirus had never reared its ugly head to us, would it still be going on right now? Will we be in the middle of XFL championships right now?
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
Right? I mean, we should be.
And if that's the case, then look, if your revenue wasn't
coming in here.
Yeah, that's my thing. If your revenue wasn't coming in that you couldn't pay your bills, so you claim bankruptcy, because now, you know, I've been seeing stories like they owed a St. Louis company, I guess, that ran the arena, I guess, they owed them like a couple $1 million. They owed a couple of other
venues. Well, I'm certain they owed a lot of people,
enough to do this, enough to claim bankruptcy. But if your anticipated revenue, I mean, what was the realistic revenue stream for the first year of a minor league football team? Like, what did you think was going to happen? You weren't selling out these stadiums. Like, Seattle wasn't going to sell out Central League Field. They knew that. No. They knew that. You know, they weren't going to sell out. Now, where did the Roughnecks, they didn't play at NRG Stadium, did they?
No, they played at, TDECU?
Yeah, where the Cougars play?
Where the Houston Cougars play, yeah.
Okay. Right. So, you know, I think the Dallas team played in Arlington at where the Rangers play, maybe, or some other place. I don't know.
Probably. They didn't play at the Palace.
Right. But they weren't going to fill these places up anyway.
Nor are they playing like at the Cotton Bowl or any of the big stadiums in Dallas.
Can you imagine the XFL at the Cotton Bowl, please? They'd be like, "Trust us, there's 22,000 people here at the Cotton Bowl. Trust us. I know it looks like there's 10, but trust us, there's 22,000 people here at the Cotton Bowl."
Meanwhile, they're telling the camera, "Don't pan any higher than row F.
Do not fly up. Do not do the drone shot. Do not do the blimp shot. Do not show this massive coliseum with a spattering of fans."
Contacting Taiwan. Yeah, can we have like a couple thousand of your robots?
That would have been like the Michigan team played at the Big House.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, there's 20,000 people here.
We didn't get 100,000 to fill the stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
We topped out around 80. That's still pretty good, right?
Still pretty good. But still, Ben Kercheval is going to join us in hour three. We're going to talk to him about this because I'm still curious. I'm still, listen, I said at the top of the hour, I don't mean to be, if you like the idea of spring football, if you like the idea of some kind of development league for the NFL that's not tied to the college game, I don't think you're going to see it again. I really don't. I mean, maybe there's somebody out there that's like, you know what? I'll take a chance. I'll go swimming in that pool. But I've seen four of these in my lifetime, and none of them seem to make it.
Yeah.
None of them have any sort of longevity to them. And when I say longevity, I mean 4 years. All right. That's what I mean. The last three attempts at this have lasted one season or not even a season. I mean, the USFL had a couple of years under its belt before they filed lawsuit.
Yeah, and they had a good string. I mean, there was
football. They really did.
I mean, think of all the Hall of Famers that came over from the USFL once it disbanded.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
They were forced to go play in the NFL. They had to take their talents out. And for some, they didn't even go that route. Warren Moon went from the USFL to Canada.
That's right. That's right.
Then back to the NFL and still is an NFL Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and XFL twice and this AAFL lasted not even a season.
Okay, and on top of that, okay, with the XFL, disbanded, how is the Arena League still around?
Oh, I know. Is that just so gimmicky and what is so different in form and in business plan that can survive and keep surviving because it's football, but it's kind of not. It's, you know, it's a different game. It's arenas rather than stadiums. It's, you know, maybe that's the case, but
that doesn't make sense to me either.
I mean, my God.
If we're sitting there going, hey, there's no room for football.
Five weeks in bankruptcy.
Yeah.
God.
There's like a disconnect. There's something missing.
Something missing. I swear. Again, wake up call. Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio.
Wake up call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts will help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier, so when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, so back to the XFL for a second. I know many of you have heard me say over and over again that I did 2 years of my early life in minor league basketball. There, part of the XFL story was that they're paying employees up until just recently. Now, you told me that yesterday, right? Because we have some people within the company that did some stuff that got paid.
Well, I mean, the last pay period.
I don't know
about this one.
There are, despite the bankruptcy, they're reportedly going to pay through middle of April, which is where we are now, and then they're refunding anybody who bought future tickets.
Okay.
So they're going to do that. Now, very nice of them. I'll tell you a quick story. So when I worked, I worked for two teams. I worked for the Las Vegas Silver Bandits of the IBL, which was the International Basketball League, and that was really fun. That was a league, again, that came into existence after a five-year research time period. They basically did all the finances, researched the league, et cetera, had a team in Baltimore, had a team in San Diego, had a team in Trenton, had a team in New Mexico, you know, St. Louis, various places. Pretty cool league. And the guy who used to be the voice of the Red Sox, Tim Neverett, and I used to work media relations and broadcasting. So it was kind of a fun time for a young guy to kind of be involved in that. And then I went to Tampa, where my wife is from. We left to go to Tampa to work with the Tampa Bay Thunderdogs, which was coached by Daryl Dawkins, the late, great Daryl Dawkins. And that was, again, that was a different situation because while the XFL is doing a great job in paying its employees, midway through our inaugural season with the Thunderdogs, we had a meeting that said, there's no money. And my wife was working in the office too. And then she basically said, all right, that's enough. I had fun. She was like running the front office and doing, you know, helping with promotions and things like that. She's like, listen, I'm a medical biller. That's what I went to school for. I'm getting right back into that field. So she left. But I'll never forget, our team was bought by the owner of the Detroit Dogs. And him and his guy came in to town. And I remember him sitting me down going, look, if you can get us through this season and you get us through, we're going to have a tournament at the end of the year. We're going to get all the teams to Detroit. We're going to play at Cobo Hall. We're going to have a round, get tournament, and that's it. Then we'll figure out what we're going to do next year. But this franchise is probably going to go under. But if you promise to stay at the end of the season, which was like 2 months away, maybe 2.5 months away, says, I promise I will give you every dollar that was coming to you. That was, you know. And I was, you know, I was in my late 20s at the time. And I, you know, I'm like, okay, I don't have any kids. You know, my wife's going to work. I will roll the dice. And I remember feeling at the end going, I made the wrong decision. I should have just walked away, did something else. I don't know. You know, but I stayed with it. Our team played the rest of the season. We played through we went up to Detroit. I did the media and stuff for the tournament, got it all done, wrapped it up. And I was sitting in a hotel just before I was leaving, and the owner of the Detroit Dogs was with me. And I gave him my invoice. He wrote the exact amount on a check and gave it to me. And I was so relieved, because when you work in that kind of environment and you know people who have worked in that environment, and I knew at that point, I was knowing a lot of people who had done minor league baseball, had done minor league hockey, right? And they all said the same thing. You'll be lucky if you get a nickel. Like they just do this, they get you to do it, and you don't get a dime. You know, I've done that before, blah, blah, blah. I'll never do it again. I mean, I was really nervous because I was putting like 2.5 months of not getting paid. And luck, I did. So, and I always thought that was one of the most generous things. Like, he didn't ask me to take 75% or 50%. He said, I told you I'd give you every dime that's owed to you. What do we owe you? I gave him the number. He gave me the check. So as I felt, that's one of the reasons why I always look back on that time. And I always smile and say it was a really great time. I had a really good time. I learned a lot. I met a lot of really cool people. Me and my wife became really good friends with Daryl Dawkins, really good friends. And he was a guy I grew up admiring. Like, I love Daryl Dawkins. And when he was our coach, I was kind of excited because I was like, really cool. And it not only did we get to know him, we became really close with him. In fact, after our son was born, he went back to the USBL and he was coaching in Pennsylvania, and he came down to play a team in Lakeland, Florida. And my wife and I went to go see him, to go to that game and to see him. And like any game he was at, he was surrounded by people. They wanted picture, they wanted autograph, whatever. And the moment he saw my wife, he parted the whole crowd. Like, he parted the crowd to get her to come over. We have a picture of my son being held by Daryl Dawkins. It was great. But that's the only reason I look back on that fondly is because the owner of the Detroit team made good on his entire promise. If he had said, oh, I'm sorry, I know I told you we'd give you the money, but we're not giving you the money, I would have recovered. I mean, it would have been fine. I mean, it would have made it. I mean, it would have been one of those experiences where I looked back and felt like I was a sucker, but I would have, you know, I was a kid. I mean, it wasn't like I was like, oh my God, now I can't pay my mortgage, right? It was, you know, I took a chance. But he made good on all the money, and that's why I look back on it with fondness. I hope, and the reason I bring up this story, I hope the people that worked in the XFL that got an experience even for 5 weeks, I hope by being kind of made whole, if you will, by getting paid through a certain point and not being, shafted on the pay or whatever, that they'll look back and say, you know, it was fun. It wasn't horrible. It didn't last. I wish it did last, but I don't have any ill will towards it. Because that's where these leagues get a bad rap, is when you leave like employees kind of distraught. They put a lot of work, put a lot of effort into it. They put their heart and soul into it. They wanted something out of it that they know now they're not going to get. I mean, I wanted to see if I could get a career in front office in basketball at that age. It didn't come to fruition. I went in another direction. But I hope the XFL guys that are getting made whole a little bit by what they were owed by this season, by the league that's no longer around, I hope they will look back on it and laugh. Because I've had many laughs with people that I worked with over the years. But it is sad that the XFL won't be around.
Wake Up Call continues now.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, so good, the bad, and the dumb here on a Tuesday. And like we do every time we do this segment, we start with the good because it is the good. So the good of the day
is 2-4.
2-4. All right. Yeah. I like this.
Going Christian McCaffrey, 2-for-1 on a good for the day.
You got it. All right.
The first good of the day is that Coors Light really came through yesterday.
All right.
There happens
I like
this to
story
be,
already.
Yeah, there happens to be a 93-year-old woman whose photo went viral because she was pleading for more beer.
Nice. Well done.
So Coors Light delivered 150 beers to this 93-year-old.
So she's 93, and she's probably been a beer drinker her whole life, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Right?
She lives in Pittsburgh.
Why is it that when we get old people, like 96, 97...
I'm telling you, there's secrets to life here.
Exactly. Like, all right, maybe Jack LaLanne is probably the exception to the rule, because Jack LaLanne, I think he was in his 90s when he died.
Yeah.
And he was Mr. Exercise, right? Yeah. He was Mr. Fitness and
all
that. I was
going to say workout Jack LaLanne, not, I mean, you know, neighbor Jack LaLanne from three doors down.
Jack LaLanne, the guy who tows, like, rowboats and things on his 80th birthday, things like that, while he was shackled.
Yeah.
Right? Things like that. That guy. But for the most part, anytime you get, like guys in their late 80s, early 90s, or in their upper 90s, it's always like they had meat and potatoes and they liked butter and they ate pasta and they drank wine and they drank beer and they always had scotch, you know? It's never like, oh, you know how he lived to be 97? He juiced every day and he did yoga and he only ate nuts and seeds and fruit and vegetables and never ate any meat, stayed away from alcohol. We never hear those stories.
No.
Never hear those stories. It's always, he's a meat and potato guy his whole life. Always ate the starch, always ate the red meat, lived to be 98.
And here's the thing, she's still living on her own.
Yeah, oh, wow.
That's the other thing, too. I'm assuming because she's posed outside her house. Definitely does not look like a senior home, a nursing home, or whatever.
Right.
And last week at some point, she'd held up a sign, you know, social distancing. I think granddaughter took it. No, her daughter took the photo of her holding up a sign that says, "I need more beer," while she has a Coors Light can in one hand. And then now if you scroll through and, you know, if you look it up today, you'll see her standing next to case after case, you know, 12-pack after 12-pack of Coors Light.
How wonderful is that?
Just sitting on her front porch, and she literally has her arm resting on one while she's drinking.
That's great.
Drinking a Coors Light.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's, you know, hey, if you're going to quarantine, that's why I saw a joke the other day. I really liked it. Conan O'Brien had tweeted out, during this time, can we... you know, redefine the definition of alcoholic.
Yeah, can we do that? That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. You know,
that's not a bad idea.
Because I think we're all just at home drinking.
There was a one day last week, I was in my office doing some stuff and just, you know, doing whatever and, you know, this, that. And my wife was on the phone. She was doing some stuff from home and she was, you know, calling up some of her employees, et cetera, and all that stuff. And then she got off the phone and I was still in my office and she just came in with a cocktail.
Yep.
And we didn't even say anything to each other. I said, thank you. I didn't say, oh, you made cocktails. She just goes, here. And
yeah.
I go, thank you.
It's just,
yeah. I was like, thanks.
Passing the time.
Yeah. That's it. How are you doing? Yeah. It's well done.
The other
so
good
the
of
second
the day.
Good, yeah.
Yeah. The other good of the day that there is a benefit concert coming up.
Benefit concert.
You
okay.
know what's going to happen.
They're going to be doing this on Zoom.
I'm not sure. No, they're doing it on YouTube.
YouTube.
It actually will be Friday, April 17th. So this Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern time on YouTube.
So who's doing the concert?
Well, I don't know the full guest list just yet. But
so we don't know if this is a good. This could be a bad. It could be bad musicians.
No. There's one band. No, actually, it's not a benefit concert. One band is just doing is having a little show.
You too.
No, this guy, these guys.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. The cast of that movie.
Yeah, they're actually, all of them are getting back together. And
because the guy who wrote this song passed away.
Is that what?
Yeah.
Is that John Prine? No, it's not John.
No,
Bryan.
It was another person. I forget the name, but I know he I remember when he died. They
just
said,
recently? Or?
Yeah, just within, I don't know, a week or so. People were going right. They were Twitter talking about this song and talking about the movie and everything else.
Yeah, well, so, I know that's it's been 20 years since the movie's been out, so yeah. that kind of hurt when I read that.
Yeah, but I'm going to be honest with you, this wasn't one of my favorite movies.
Well, no, but the song is catchy.
It is catchy.
You need something snappy, you need something peppy, you need something, you know, happy.
There, Tom Hanks is excellent in this because, one, he's Tom Hanks, but two, he is a no-nonsense record producer. Like, he doesn't have time for BS. He just goes, like, he tells the drummer, you're out of the hotel. Yeah, he's like, he says, well, you're out of the hotel this afternoon. He goes, you don't have a band. You're out of the hotel. That's it. I'm done. Wrap it up.
Yep.
So, but I wonder if he ever had that lunch with Wolfman, though, where he goes, well, call me, we'll do lunch.
I'm certain they did.
Call me, we'll do lunch.
But I'm curious to see. I mean, they're getting all four members back. So Steve Zahn, Tom Everett Scott, and the other two guys. I can never remember their names.
Yeah, very good.
Ethan Embry and Jonathan Scheidt, and as well as unnamed special guests.
Is Liv Tyler going to be there?
Maybe.
Yeah. She's part of the band.
They're going to be doing a benefit concert on YouTube.
Good.
I'm sure it's going to be, you know, them broadcasting from their separate places.
Right.
I hope.
Do these guys know how to play instruments?
That's what I'm curious about. Or are they going to? Because I thought they were like miming the entire time. Or...
Yeah, me too. They're actors.
I mean, maybe they do know how to play.
Maybe they do. Maybe they learned for the part.
Maybe they know how to sing.
Maybe they do. Right? Maybe they weren't lip syncing. Maybe they really did this.
I mean, Tom Everett Scott playing the drums. He looked pretty convincing.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. So, that's good. That is a good good. What's the bad then?
The bad is, you know, people are been going to extremes to make sure that people are quarantined. You know, there's certain rules, like, you know, police have arrested people, you know, broken up parties. They arrested a pastor down in Louisiana.
I know. This is so ridiculous.
I was telling you yesterday that Brazilian gangs might straight up murder you if you're not adhering to social distancing or quarantining. Yeah,
That was a weird story. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. But this one's also kind of a neat one. Kapu Village in Indonesia.
Okay.
Has taken up dressing themselves up like ghosts.
To scare
people back into their homes. Okay. And when I say dressing up like ghosts, they literally are just putting a white sheet over their bodies.
Okay, because that's how ghosts really are.
Yeah.
Like, no one ever... People saw a white sheet and went, oh my God, it's a ghost.
They're not putting on demonic makeup. You know, like, they don't have makeup artists just really dressing the part or making them look like zombies. And they're not doing that. They're literally running around with sheets going, boo, get back in your house.
You want to look like Marley from the Christmas. You want to look like him when he's got all the chains and he's bothering Scrooge while he eats his dinner. You want to be him with the bandages and things like that. You want to be scary. You don't want to be a sheet with eyes. You don't want to be like a Charlie Brown Halloween. You don't want to be that. That's basic.
Did one of them keep cutting holes because they messed up?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I got a rock.
You remember Charlie Brown had like 100 holes in a sheet.
Yeah,
because he couldn't find. He couldn't get the eye holes right.
Couldn't get the eye holes right. Exactly. That's why they give him rocks. Yeah. That's why they gave all the other kids great candy, and then Charlie Brown got rocks.
Another rock. I'll give it up to Charlie, though, because he carried that bag like a champ.
He did. He didn't quit. I mean, didn't cry.
No, I mean, you ever have a bag full of rocks carrying around? That bag gets heavy. Very quickly.
It does, man.
And he wasn't dragging it on the ground at all.
No, not at all.
Didn't empty it out, just collected all those rocks.
That's sad, getting rocks.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe this is a new way to go about it. If you know people in your neighborhood who are not adhering to quarantining rules, just throw a sheet over your head. Go scare them.
That's right. Oh, man.
Maybe if you ride a skateboard, it'll look like your feet aren't there and...
That's a good idea.
I don't know.
That's a good idea. All right, the dumb of the day.
I don't know how to feel about this one.
All right. I like these. I like these when you're on the edge. You're like, I don't know. It could go either way.
No, this one's pretty bad.
Okay.
It was borderline bad, but I just have to say it's dumb because it's another fashion thing. Yesterday I brought you the hot look of the summer, which will be lace shorts.
Yeah, the lace shorts.
A fashion designer, his name is Arnold Putra, made a handbag. Now, the basket of the handbag is made out of alligator tongue.
Ooh.
The handle of the bag, I got to read this for you. This is, I'm going to read it for you the way he wrote it. I think this was on Instagram, maybe. Alligator tongue basket bag. Handle made of an entire child's spine who had osteoporosis.
Okay, that guy should be arrested.
But it's not illegal.
Like, he's taking a body part?
Yes, that he purchased legally.
No.
Putra told Insider, it's part of a creative learning process that should involve opposition. Otherwise, it would just be a form of repeated validation. I'm not intending to sell out and will continue to realize my dreams that are frequently changing in terms of subject matter. Designer
I don't
said,
even know what that just meant.
The designer said that the spine had been medically sourced from Canada with papers. He said it was possible to buy bones from licensed companies that receive a humans that receive human specimens donated to science and sometimes sell them as surplus. The human bone trade is legal in several U.S. states and some countries, including Canada, according to the National Geographic.
Don't you feel like this is one of those cases where you're like, it's all legal, but in the end, a judge goes, yeah, but I don't like this. Click, boom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I get it. You have the paperwork. Yeah, I mean, get it. You've circumvented sort of the idea behind the law. I get it. None of this is, you know, I can't find anything illegal about this, but just on a gut feeling, 5 years in prison.
I mean, how
$100,000 fine.
How wide and deep has this is this line in the sand?
That's exactly right.
I mean, this is like this is like a Grand Canyon line in the sand. Like,
that's just, exactly right.
You don't need to cross this.
I'm with you 100%. I just feel like that just is.
It's creepy.
It's.
I mean, if you want, I could show you a photo of it.
Send me a text of that.
I don't know what to think of it.
Yeah, right. I'm with you. I'm glad you started that with, I don't know how I feel about it, because now I don't know how I feel about it. Other than wigged out, creeped out.
It's dumb.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
Dumb. I mean, I don't know. Dumb. I don't know the, you know what it is? I don't know the thought process of how you get there, of saying, you know, I'm going to create something fashion today. Okay, alligator tongue, that's weird.
It's weird, but
there's been jokes about alligator handbags, alligator shoes, or, you know, not jokes, but those are real things. But then how do you get to a point like, you know, I'm looking for a handle that's unique and different that hasn't been done before. I know, a child's spine.
Yeah, that's not, no. Because if you buy that bag, how do you show that off? That's a beautiful bag. That handle, that looks really well. It's a child's spine. Is it now? Wow. That's amazing. No, you would not get that response. You would get... Wait, hold on. Should I be calling the police? Where'd you get that? How'd you get that? It's weird. That's weird. But you know what? I think you're right. I think it fits perfectly in the dumb category. That makes more sense. All right, that is the good, the bad, and the dumb here on a Tuesday. It is SB Nation Radio. Again, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, as we continue on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. There was some sad news yesterday. Tavares Jackson, remember him? Was backup quarterback for a long time, but he actually started for the Vikings for 21 games, drafted in 2006. He died in a car accident Sunday night outside of Montgomery, Alabama. I know. But you know what's one of the things about these kind of sad stories that hit us when we have, you know, a guy that, listen, Tavares Jackson was a backup quarterback, right? He spent most of his career as a backup quarterback, had a 10-year career. He was the quarterback's coach at Tennessee State here in Nashville before the tragic accident on Sunday night. But when you look at the article and you look at the social media response, one of the things that was very clear about Tavares Jackson's time in the NFL was he was a magnificent teammate.
Yeah.
That over and over again, Brett Favre talked about how here was a guy that was a starter for the Vikings or played. Here comes Brett Favre, and Tavares Jackson couldn't wait to just give up that to
sit
Favre.
Back and watch, yeah, and you just know, learn,
absorb it. You know, lost his starting job to Favre, and I mean, how could you be mad at that, right? How could you be and he absorbed it. He went to Seattle twice. He actually got traded to the Bills, but never played for the Bills. Never took a snap for them. But then went back to Seattle. Pete Carroll had a really great tweet on how loved he was in the locker room, how loved he was as a teammate. Russell Wilson expressed his love for Tavares Jackson as a teammate and a friend. He was the backup quarterback for Russell Wilson when they won the Super Bowl against the Denver Broncos in their 2013 season. But it was nice to see somebody remembered like that, who wasn't a superstar, doesn't have, didn't win a Super Bowl on his own, was a starter or anything like that, just had a role, played that role well, and also was a great teammate, worked hard, and people he approached and who approached him came away a better for it. And that's how Tavares Jackson is getting remembered by those who knew him around the league. 36 years old. Very, very sad story, but the warmth that people had towards him, it's a good memory. There are plenty of good memories of their interactions with Tavares Jackson. It was taken way too soon. Rest in peace.